Jake Shimabukuro is called the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele. In fact, they're calling Jimi Hendrix the Jake Shimabukuro of the guitar these days. That's how far it's come. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, Jake Shimabukuro. Holy cow.
How are you?
Good to meet you. Nice to meet you. So, Jake, the ukulele does not get enough respect. Agree or disagree? I mean, historically. I mean, recently, anyhow.
But that's what I love about it. You know, you don't have to be a musician to play this instrument. You know, it's probably one of the easiest strings to play.
It helps, though, doesn't it? I mean,
and that's the thing. It really does. I mean, it's
what does it play itself? I could just pick that up and it would play itself. It's like a...
Some do, actually.
Yeah. Because you know, in this, we think of Arthur Godfrey. You know, if you're old enough, you think of Arthur Godfrey used to play that, and not really well.
But no, he was a fantastic player, actually. What? Yeah, he was a great ukulele player, I thought.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I'm wrong again, big deal. So when haven't I been wrong? And then, but in this country, like in the 20s, for some, mm-hmm. everyone was playing ukuleles, and they were wearing raccoon coats and playing ukuleles for some reason. I have no idea how that started. It might have been Godfrey, but I don't think he's that old. You remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
And then everyone must have had a ukulele at that point, because, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know in the 20s it was very popular, and then again in the 50s.
Yeah, it came back in the 50s?
Yeah, it came back in the 50s, and then again recently, I guess, you know, with the internet.
Yeah.
The internet, you know, it's become very popular again.
Yeah. Now, in Hawaii, where you're from, is it still the most popular thing to play, or a popular instrument?
Well, you know, I mean, from what I understand here on the, you know, in the continental U.S., everyone in elementary school, you learn how to play the recorder.
Yeah.
Right? So in Hawaii, we all learn how to play the ukulele.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think in the fourth and fifth grade, we have like two or three weeks of ukulele lessons.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Is that how you started?
Yeah. Well, my mom played, you know, when I was a kid. So when I was about 4 years old, she sat me down, taught me a few chords, and I just fell in love with it.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, she literally just taught me three chords, and that's all I played for 10 years. And I joke around with people and I tell them that with three chords, you can play like 300
anything.
Traditional Hawaiian tunes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's probably all it takes is three chords. Like, all rock and roll is just two chords, I think.
Yeah.
Add another third for jazz or something, and you're pretty cool with that sort of stuff. Plus, you're trans-genre.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes. I thought you were going somewhere else.
No. I mean, in the most respectful possible way. I mean, you're not nailed to any one genre.
Yeah, I mean, I love all styles of music. I started out playing traditional Hawaiian music, of course, being in Hawaii. But then later on, you know, I discovered different styles of music and just kind of, you know, fell in love with the, you know, just the challenges that come with trying to interpret different styles of music on four strings.
Yeah. And has it brought you in touch with ukulele players worldwide now? Because for example, in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, there must be people who have been clandestinely playing the ukulele all these years and suddenly feel vindicated by you.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I mean, two years ago, I actually did a concert in Russia, and man, there were people that brought their ukuleles to the concert. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, mandolin used to be the thing, but I think at a certain point the ukulele caught on with it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, well, you know, they have, I can't remember the name of the traditional instrument that they have. The balalaika, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, balalaika.
It has three strings, actually.
Yeah,
and they
even
do
better.
Incredible things with that instrument. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's even better for me, three strings. If you go down to two or one, I could possibly do something.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us here?
Well, I'd like to play a song, you know, the song that really started it all for me, and I was talking about the internet, and about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a YouTube video that went viral of me playing a George Harrison piece, so I want to share that with everyone. This is While My Guitar, or While My Ukulele Gently Weeps. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. That's the first standing ovation I've ever gotten in all these years of doing the show. And I'm humbled, and actually tears came to my eyes. But I think it was you, not so much the moment. Very nice. I think George Harrison would have approved of that.
Oh, thank you.
And he played a good ukulele, actually.
Yeah, you
he
know,
played
George,
a good ukulele.
Yeah, George Harrison was a big fan of the ukulele.
Yeah.
So I always felt, you know, I had that kind of had a connection with him in that way, because a lot of his music, I think they translate well on the instrument. You know, like
yeah, pure
or
uke.
Like a something.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to ask him if he. You know, if he got a lot of his ideas for songs, you know, yeah. from the ukulele.
Maybe he wrote them on the ukulele.
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly, because yeah. a lot of the movements, you know, the inner voices and all that work really well on the ukulele. You know, yeah. it's just I don't know, there's something about it that yeah. just translates so well on the
sitar. And it's a lot more portable than the sitar.
It is, yeah. It is.
Although he was good on that too, I guess. It's hard for me to say, I guess. Well, that's what you are like traveling every day for the next 3 years. Did you know that?
Yes.
You're not even here now, technically. You know, you're gonna be at the Fitzgerald in St. Paul next. Is that right?
Yeah, tonight actually.
And then and then you're going to Lincoln, Nebraska. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Bourbon Theater, and look, that sounds promising. Then you're going to Peoria, and then you're going to Iowa City, Des Moines, Kansas City. You're going to Wilmington, North Carolina. I mean, you're just going, you're not stopping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel very fortunate because, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, when I played the ukulele, I mean, I knew it was my passion and I knew that I would always play, but I had no idea that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, you know, because back then there weren't a lot of touring ukulele players, you know.
No. So. And still, you're probably the only one.
Yeah,
really.
Well, and I joke around, but I tell people one of the best things about being a touring ukulele player is that audiences all over the world have such low expectations.
Not anymore, they don't. Now they're gonna. I mean, some other guy comes along now and tries to do it. They're gonna compare him to you, and he's that's it for him. He's out of the running. Is that and that? I mean, you're good with the touring. I mean, you're a young man, you're strong, but that doesn't get.
Yeah, I mean, I do love it. You know, it's because of course I'd be happy just playing. You know, anywhere, it doesn't matter. But one of the nice things about being able to tour and to play for you know, in these, like last night we were at the Capitol Theater, and that's a beautiful, beautiful theater. You know, got a great sound system, and to me that's the. You know, the rush when you get to play in a venue like that, you know, and you hear your instrument. I mean, just because I don't have speakers like that at my house, you know, I mean, I don't have a sound system like
not
that.
Not anymore. You've been gone so long.
so to be able to play, you know, in a beautiful venue like that, you know, with and to play for an audience that appreciates music and are just as passionate about music, you know, as the performers on stage. I mean, it's a true honor, and so for me that's what I love. Yeah. I love being able to do that, have those opportunities.
And next year it goes world, right? This is like a world tour coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we
get out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, you know, this year alone, you know, we were fortunate enough, we did an Asia tour. We toured across Australia, Canada,
wow.
US. I know next year we're talking about doing some things in overseas in Europe, and so it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you do one more?
Sure, I'd love to do one more. Well, let's see. How about a traditional Hawaiian piece? Yeah, because I am from Hawaii, and on my latest album, it was really cool because I got to work with one of my heroes, his great Alan Parsons, you know, and he produced my latest record called Grand Ukulele, and when we were in the studio. You know, we took a little break, and you know, we were playing all this stuff in the studio. Then we took a little break, and I just sat down and I started playing this traditional Hawaiian piece. And he came over, he rushed over, he was like, "What is that?" You know, and I said, "Oh, it's a traditional Hawaiian song." He was like, "We need to record that." And so, and it's one of my favorites, and it was inspired by a lovely place on the Big Island known as Akaka Falls Park. And this is a piece entitled Akaka Falls.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public
Jake
Radio.
Jake Shimabukuro, ladies and gentlemen.
Public Radio International.
Thank you, man.